I wanted to say congratulations to the particular team yesterday that did well at the picnic. It was the adult tug-of-war team. It soundly defeated the teenagers who gave it a valiant effort, and I think they were merciful on us. But part of the reason why we won, of course, is because it wasn't necessarily because of our efforts, but I think we outweighed the teenagers by about 1,000 pounds. I knew those two donuts a day would pay off eventually with some good. But it was an enjoyable time, and it's certainly a blessing to worship and be around a very holy table that Jesus invites us to. And for today and the next number of Sundays and next number of Wednesdays, looking at God's Word in the great privilege of doing the work of an evangelist, telling the good news of Jesus to others. In junior high and senior high, at the school I went to, students were asked to give the morning announcements over the PA system. That was enjoyable, but a little bit intimidating. You had to say things like congratulations to the golf team that did well, or a band practice is canceled tomorrow, and that made people thankful. No school Monday, teachers and service day. So sometimes what you passed on was really good news. And I remember doing that and being very concerned, very nervous, very self-conscious about how I would make the announcements that day. Would I be too fast, too slow? Would I be understandable at all? And how would I come off passing on the news? But the people who were listening to the announcements didn't really care how awkward I felt in giving the news. They wanted to know what was true. And they wanted to know what was happening. And they wanted to hear any good news that was really there. And so the point of giving the news is the news. And God would let us know, as we share Christ with others, the power really is not in our ability to articulate the good news, to say it clearly or in some reasonable manner. The power of telling the good news is the good news itself. Christ is the message that we get to pass on. As 2 Corinthians chapter 4 said there, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. And we are Christ's servants for your sake." So a great way to serve others, to help the world around us, that God has ordained, is He's given you and I, just the average child of God, the privilege and the opportunity and the responsibility to tell others about Christ. We have that as an inheritance and something that we are to do. The message is not about ourselves, but Christ is Lord. We see that throughout the Gospels, that Jesus became very central in the lives and proclamation of the disciples. A great story in Mark chapter 9. If you go home and read Mark chapter 9, you see God's heart for evangelism in terms of dealing with an unsolvable problem. We have those kind of things. Unsolvable problem. It was a demon-possessed boy. And the parents brought the boy to Jesus because they couldn't help him. I don't know if you're in family life and you say, "Yeah, we got this problem and we don't know what to do." So the parents couldn't do anything. The society couldn't do anything. There was too much confusion, too much evil involved for society to take on this demon-possessed boy. The disciples couldn't do anything. They represent you and I as Christians sometimes when we feel powerless. What are we going to do with a problem that we have in our own soul or in a loved one's soul or in the world around us? What are we going to do? Well, Jesus comes, and you know what He says? He says, "Bring the boy to Me. Bring the boy to Me." You should underline that 3 times in your Bible. Bring the boy to Me. When you have a problem, when your soul is really not at peace with God, bring that to Christ. It's part of telling the good news. You have a friend, bring the friend to Christ. Bring Christ to the friend. you look at society and you say, oh my goodness, you know, if we get any more ungodly, we're going to resemble Sodom and Gomorrah. What would Jesus say? Bring that to me. That demonic problem that you see. Christ gave healing to the boy in a new life. And so you and I have the responsibility and the privilege telling good news, pointing to Christ. Paul would say, you are a letter from Christ. It was a good providential. We have the neighbor signs out there today. Come to worship on Neighbor Day. But you're really a Neighbor Day sign every day as a believer in Christ. You say, get to know Christ. He's a part of our lives. And telling the good news, we have to get it in our soul, is the privilege and responsibility of every child of God. So it's something we all share together. Not just for the missionary, not just for the evangelist, not just for the Sunday school teacher, not just for the pastor, not just for the elder, not just for the deaconess, although they would make a good team, for sure. But it's for every child of God, the privilege and responsibility to tell of Jesus and His love. And God puts that on our heart. I think there's a want-to that He gives us when we receive Him, because we know how wonderful He is. We like to talk about our loved ones. It's a natural thing. Let's look at God's work in evangelism and then our work. Two things about God's work, one part our work. God's work is the miracle of the new birth. What did you have to do with your physical birth? Not much. You showed up. There was a doctor to help deliver you, and there was work happening, big time labor, and people were concerned and praying and all that. And you came, a miracle of God. All you did was put yourself in a position, and there you were born. And someone said, the doctor smacked you on the bum, you started screaming, you've been screaming ever since. That's how life is. And then, what happened when you were born from above, when you were born again? You didn't jump high. You didn't say, I'll memorize 100 things and maybe I'll have a new birth then. You surrendered to God and God gave you life from above. Sent His Holy Spirit into your life. You trusted Christ just as a surrendered sinner. And how wonderful God is to give us new birth like that. I noticed, and you and I have been thankful ever since, if we've received Christ. The quality God wants us to have, thankfulness, that of an evangelist. I've noticed something about the new birth God gives. He's the only one who could give the new birth. He's the only one who could bring conviction of sin. Conviction of sin is when we realize there's something in my life not right with God. I am not right with God, and I need salvation. Only God can give that message to a person's heart. Maybe He'll do it through you, through a song, through Scripture, but only He could give it. I've talked to people as a Christian, and I want them to turn to the Lord. And sometimes I give them every possible bit of information I can so that they would receive Christ. I pray for them. I give them a Bible. I give them a Billy Graham sermon on tape or a pamphlet. I give them apologetic books to talk about evidence for the Lord. Josh McDowell, Ravi Zacharias, Lee Strobel. You know, they get the whole library of Christian books. Don't even know the Lord yet. I give them my testimony. They don't budge off first base. No, not for me. No need for the Savior. Then I talk to other people. I hardly say very much about the Lord. I say, you know, God really cares about you. If you turn to Christ, trust Him, He'll save your soul. And they believe in God. And I figure, well, this must be God's work. See, that He could do what I can't do. Only God can bring conviction of sin. We pray for that for ourselves, for the world around us, for the country you love, for other nations who haven't heard the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of guilt and sin, said Jesus, and the need to believe in Him. So let God do His work. Have a confidence He's doing His work. Pray for Him to do His work. Pray for conviction of sin to touch the heart of every Christian, touch the heart of every lost person. I think it should bother us and have us be grieved and at least have us scratch our head to know 80% of the people in America don't want to worship God on even a given Sunday. It's not important, not on the radar screen. The Lord seeks people to worship Him. And let the Holy Spirit evaluate your heart in terms of how you are doing in our part of the work of evangelism. And God can, He'll be, as always, honest with us to set us free. I was thinking about that in my own life, and we did this a little bit on Wednesdays as we're trying to look in the Bible to get equipped as possible for sharing Christ with others on Wednesdays also. But I just asked God, okay, Lord, let the Holy Spirit tell me where I am on a scale of 1 to 10 on how much I really want others to come to know You. Where am I at with that? Where's that in my passion and in my soul? How badly do I really want other people to come to know You? And I tried to be realistic and merciful and everything. And I put a 9 for myself on a scale of 1 to 10. I really want people to come to Christ. I love it when people do that. Think about being a pastor. I think the only reason I wanted to be a pastor is to see people come to the Lord and follow Him. I didn't want to be a pastor because I liked religion. You know, the rules and regulations and everything is tight and everything is just so, all that stuff bores me to no end. But I'm glad other people are good at it. I wanted people to come to Christ because I know how wonderful He is. Then I asked the Lord, Lord, let Your Holy Spirit tell me how much I put into practice that which is dear to my heart. On an average week or month, how am I doing with the telling that Jesus died for your sins and rose? Would you want to receive Him? And again, I was trying to be honest and merciful. I thought the Lord gave me a 3 on that. So I'm thinking, wow, I need the Lord's help to help my life and my words catch up to my soul. And I don't know if you're there with me or not, with the struggle and the hesitation to do that. One Buddhist was criticizing Christians, and he said this. He feels Christians have become awkward teenagers. Teenagers aren't always awkward, but we all felt that. We become awkward teenagers when it comes to telling about the Lord. As a teenager, you see your parents coming down the street, and you say to yourself, here comes the 2 strangest people in the whole world. And sometimes that's how we feel about God, or at least the way we treat Him in a public way. Well, He's not like that. But let the Holy Spirit talk to your soul. Where are you at with God in terms of telling the good news to Christ? Where is the passion level? Is it a 9? Is it a 3? Is it a 2? Is it like, I don't even think about that. I honestly give myself a 1. Let God show you that and create the calling in your life that is from Him. And what an adventure you'll begin. And then ask the Lord, how well am I doing with that, Lord? Am I a 9? You know, I wonder how many 9s we have in the church. I tell somebody about Christ at least once a month. The passion of God for that, and how God will use us as He opens the door. Not out of someone pushing us, but somebody drawing us. I've been in 2 situations. One where people said in a meeting, you know, Sunday afternoon, we're going to go door to door and tell people about the Lord. If you love the Lord, you'll be here at 1 o'clock and off we go. And then I thought, well, I better go because I love the Lord. And it was difficult. And other times, Lord, I'm ready. I want to be prepared in my heart. Open doors so I can share. And God opens doors. and good things occur. But our part, ask ourselves, what is our part? It's to prepare. Let ourselves be examined. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, in your heart set Christ apart as Lord. And always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that's in you. How true. On Wednesday we looked at motivations to give the gospel to people. Good news about Jesus. What do we say? What motivates us? And somebody raised their hand, had a great answer. They said, we give the good news about Christ because when you're close to the Lord, you're more likely to speak of Him. Great answer. That's a part of setting Christ apart in your heart. You know, let Christ use you as you surrender your life to Him. And I know from the Bible and from what's really in your heart if you know Christ, the Lord would make evangelism, telling about Him, as important to you as prayer, worship, Bible study, serving, or any other aspect of the Christian life. You would say in your heart, I know evangelism is just as important as those other things. And just like I wouldn't say, well, worship, you know, I'm a two with that one. That's for somebody else. You certainly wouldn't want to say passing on news about Christ is of low significance in your soul. But God would make it a privilege, a joy, and a responsibility. I close with one example of how God would work in your life. First of all, you let God work according to the way He created you. If you're a direct person, you can be very direct with people. Someone shared with one of our church folk, they just went up to him and said, where do you stand with the Lord? There's a lot of direct people in our fellowship. I wish you would be direct about the Lord like that. You know, you just go up to people and you, because you love them, you say, where are you with the Lord? Where do you stand with Him? That's the way God made you. Go for it. There's a lot of people in our church who are indirect. More likely to say, you know, Christ has changed my life, and He is changing my life. Can I talk with you about how He helps me with the forgiveness of sins and the issues of today and heaven and hell? Can I tell you a little bit about that? And God will work. But the commitment of the heart, God is looking for His part, our part. There's a man named Bill Shankly who was a soccer manager in England. He was very well known in soccer circles, kind of like an Arnold Palmer in golf circles. And he was interviewed and asked, why did he enjoy soccer so much and do so well in it, as soccer was his whole life? He said this, listen to these two sentences. I devoted my entire life to soccer. Everything else has been thrown overboard for soccer. And when he died, they took his ashes and they spread them over a famous soccer field in England. That's what you call it. This guy was really committed. You know, when he's dead, we commit him to the soccer there. But for him, he was unashamed. He was passionate. He was focused. He was committed. Everybody gets sold out to something, surrendered to something. And the question I know the Lord asked every child of His. Are you prepared to throw everything overboard in your life for the sake of following Jesus and telling people about Him? Get a healthy focus as a Christian. Are you prepared to throw everything overboard in your life for the sake of following Jesus and telling people about Him? If you died and somebody said, what do we do with those ashes? Would they say, let's take the, you know, they've been praying for these people down the street. Let's take their ashes and just throw them in the yards that they were concerned about. Because we know their heart was for those other people. You know, they would do that for you just because they knew your whole life was about that. If God sent a tornado and crashed this roof on us and we just had, you know, all of us were just ashes, at the Norwin Alliance Church, and somebody says, what do we do with all these ashes? would someone say, let's just take the ashes of the people at Norwin Alliance Church, let's just spread them all over Westmoreland County. Because we know the only reason that group of people gathered together is because they were able to say, well, we want to pass on the news. Christ is Lord. He's the King of Kings. And they lived like that and they died like that, so might that be their passion that's known from all in eternity. And the Lord would give us that calling in our soul, feeling sent, feeling competent by His Spirit, using us in the wonderful harvest field He sends us to. Would you allow God to love others through here? Pass on good news, Jesus is Lord. It's God's work and it's your work. And let's be about the Father's business. Let's pray together as we prepare for communion.